Turn, please, to Proverbs 26. Let's pray. Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that as we look at these truths and we look at these concepts, we pray that God's people might be willing to be what we ought to be. And I pray if there's someone who needs to be saved, that they'd see their need and come to the Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you look for in a Christian school? Do you know what you should look for in a Christian school? What do you want out of a Christian school? Those are some things that you might want to consider. One thing that I think most of us would agree on is that we would want to have a godly Christian school. Now, you know, that term godly could be used. There's certain Christians you'll run into in the course of your life that, you know, try to have a, you know, I don't know exactly how to explain it. It's kind of a super spirituality about them. Maybe they don't mean it in a wrong way, but acting as if they're always just so spiritual. They don't seem to be particularly down to earth. That's not what I mean by godly. I think, you know, around here we've gotten to know each other. We are what we are and don't try to pretend to be something we're not. We're sinners saved by grace trying to live for the Lord, and that's what we'd have in our school. We want to have a godly school. In other words, a godly school is something that is Christ-honoring and is obeying the Word of God and trying to train youngsters to love the Lord the way they should. And by the way, this word godly, I see it used many, many times in print. And when I see it used in print, I would say 75 to 90% of the time, it is spelled with a capital G. That is wrong. That is wrong. The term godly has a small G. And could you figure out why? I mean, the term godly is applied to people, so therefore it has a small G. When we use the term God for God Himself, it has a capital G. But godly has a small G because it is applied to people. It's talking about someone, a human, who is godly. So if you remember that, you'll be ahead of the rest. But however, the rest won't even know if you make the mistake. So that's too bad. All right, what I would like to bring to you tonight is what we need to do for a godly school. It's probably not everything, you know. It's probably not everything, but I want to just give you three things to consider for a godly school. Number one is, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled, verse 24 and 25 of chapter 26, Proverbs 26, 24 and 25. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. What do you see there? You see somebody there who's a phony, dissembleth, you know, is a phony, and the hating there, the hating may be for the things of God. It could be for the things of God. We could have students in our school who hate authority, who hate teachers, who hate God, and it's possible that a student like that, it says, layeth up deceit within him when he speaketh fair. In other words, he's saying the right things, but he's a phony. He's saying the right things, but he's a phony. And so we need to not be fooled by those kind of individuals. You see, our school is not a heavenly place of final sanctification. It's inhabited by sinners saved by grace. It's inhabited by saved kids who can act in the flesh. It is inhabited by unsaved kids growing up in Christian homes. It's inhabited by unsaved kids growing up in homes who can know their spiritual condition. We have all of those things in our school. It's important that we keep that in mind so that we're not fooled by somebody whose behavior is out of line. And we've had boys in our school who have exerted wickedness on others, and we've had girls do that too. And yet, they fooled a lot of people. You know, one boy I remember, his father was a preacher. They fooled a lot of people because they acted real nice to the adult's face, and so everybody thought that they were pretty good. But, you know, they might have been into rock music. They might have been into other things like that. And the staff only saw a certain charm in them, but there was something, you see, it says a deceit within them at the end of verse 24. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. There's seven abominations in his heart. We've had people like that in the school. And so we don't want them to stay like that in the school. We don't want them to stay like that in the school. But we've had that in our school. So I don't think because they're in a Christian school that the devil has been barred from a 5-mile radius around the school. You need to watch your children's friends and influences. And you should know what's going on in their life every day. You should know every day what's going on in their life, whether they seem to be following the Lord or whether they seem to be drifting away. And the difference between our school and some other Christian schools is that when we have something of that nature within our school, we find out about it, we deal with it. We deal with it. You know, the coach from Baptist Bible College visited Steve Parmalee and myself a few weeks ago, and he hardly said hello to us, but he said, "You know, boy, it's great to be with you guys who love the Lord." He says, "I just came from a den of iniquity." That's some way to describe a Christian school, isn't it? You know, what's the difference? Well, the difference is you got to deal with things. When something is found out, you got to deal with them. And we can't be fooled by just somebody who speaks nice publicly to our face, but is doing something else. You see, we're not the trainers and protectors of your children. We in the school are not the trainers and protectors of your children. We are a crucial component, but you are the trainers. And you are the protectors of your children. And we should all be working together. You see, you have them 168 hours a week. We have them, I'm not sure, maybe 7 hours a day would be 35 hours a week. If we had them 7 hours, a little bit more, 3-hour services. So you could have your child 120 to 130 more hours a week than we have your children. We are a component. We are not the trainers. We are not the protectors of your children. You are. And be careful of their friends. And don't be fooled. For a godly school, that's number one. Number two. You'll love this one. It's not new. I think it's my phrase. I don't think I copied it from anybody else. Maybe I did, going back so long ago, I can't remember. But number two for a godly school is teacher is always right. I knew you'd love that. Teacher is always right. And I mean it. Teacher is always right. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Boy, you better file that in the old brain. Huh? He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. What is it? It's folly and shame to answer a matter before you hear it. And most of the time when a parent is upset with how the teacher handled their little precious, the parent is guilty of this verse. And they're pretty strong words here. Now get that again. Most of the time when a parent is upset with how a teacher handled a little precious, the parent is guilty of this. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. For the parent, it's folly and shame unto him to answer that matter, to think you know the answer. You know, I don't know if you know anything about our court system in this country. It had a pretty good founding. There may be some stupid decisions that are coming out now, but the basic court system has two sides that present evidence, and then the answer, you know, and the verdict comes after two sides have presented evidence. And how many times does a parent get going on a teacher on the school when they've heard their youngsters? See, in the court system, both sides are heard and cross-examined to come about with an answer. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have a court system for our school, because the school is not a court system. But the first thing I want you to understand is, as a parent, when you get upset with a teacher because of what your child has said, you are not even getting into a court situation. You're not even doing that. And you fall into verse 13, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. You're in a position of folly and shame. See, the first thing every parent ought to program into their own mind, the parent's own mind, is teacher is always right. And we're not even going to court. Teacher is always right. You see, the teacher is the authority in the classroom. Your child is not the authority in the classroom. They may be the one who pulls the strings in your home, but they are not the authority in the classroom. They are not. The teacher is the authority in the classroom. There's something else to consider about that. You see, so we're not even talking about an equal court system where we have the child and the teacher. We don't have that. You wouldn't even give it that if you answer a matter before you hear it when you only heard your child's side. You wouldn't even give it that equality, but we don't have equality in the classroom. You see, the teacher is the authority. And then God Himself told me something about your child. You say, what? Yeah, I've got it written down. God wrote it down. I didn't hear words. But this is what God told me, and He told you too. He said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So why don't we have equality of a court system in the classroom? Because the teacher is the authority, the teacher is the adult, the teacher has grown up, the teacher has proved themselves, the teacher is educated, and you got the child. You have a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So who's going to make the right decisions if foolishness is bound in the heart of the child and the teacher is the authority? You know, if you believe God Himself, you will trust the teacher and you will believe what God said about your child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Some of the foolishness that takes place is that children like to set up their parents. I've taught you this many times. Some people probably still fall for it anyway. They set up the parents. When your child starts suggesting in your home, you know, when you're around the table and you're discussing things and it gets around to school and your child starts suggesting there's bad stuff going on in the school, see, you ought to be a little suspicious about your own child. Be a little suspicious. There's bad stuff going on. Report it right away. Well, what they may be doing, you see, they may be setting you up to defend them when they get caught. I mean, this has happened over the years. You know, it happens. And they get a little thing that, you know, they one night they let you know, well, a teacher punished Corky unfairly today, you know. Oh, well, Mallory's been doing some bad things and teacher didn't even do anything. But, you know, Corky can't cross the eyes, gets in trouble. Mallory can do anything, doesn't get in trouble, you know. And you're hearing, you're listening to this, right? You're listening to this. Should you be listening to that? Should we say, no, teacher is always right. Teacher is always right. I'm suspicious. My child has something wrong in their judgment here about this. They're setting you up. You know, a teacher never gets the guilty ones, you know, and always punishes the innocent ones. You know, 2 days later, your precious is in trouble, and you're simmering with anger toward that teacher. Because you've been set up. You know something? Every single kid is born in sin. And if they're good at anything, it's manipulating people in those kind of areas. You better learn it. It's true of your child, too. You should have started teaching long before to your child, before it happened, teacher is always right. You know, I had children in this school for 27 years and never questioned a teacher's dealing with my children. Never did. You want to stand up and dispute me? Mrs. Morley, you had a lot of them. I had one simple policy with my children. Teacher's always right. It's the very best thing in all the world for that child to know. They go into a class, the teacher's the authority, the teacher's always right, you conform to the teacher. And my policy extended to, if they got in trouble in school, they got in more trouble with me. That's real old-fashioned. I heard old-timers say that, you know, it's good. It's good. Always turns out good. Always turns out right. You get in trouble in school, I don't want to hear anything about it. I don't hear any excuses about it. None whatsoever. You're in trouble in school. You shouldn't be in trouble in school. You're in trouble in school. Now you're in trouble with me. You get a fine. You pay to school out of your money. And you pay me equal. Boy, how they hated to pay me equal. You know, I would guess the last time that Stephen got a fine might have been 8th or 9th grade. Bill Joseph told me it's because I'm the pastor. But you know what? He got a fine. He didn't have a whole lot of money at the time, you know, and he had to pay to school too, and he had to pay me too. You know what? Paying the school probably bothered him, but paying me really, really bothered him. Really, really bothered him. Yeah. I mean that. I mean, I can kind of illustrate it, because if there was one thing that would set him off, if we would, you know, if we would play ball when he was younger, and I could handle him and I could beat him, he hated to lose to me. And it was 10 years old, I hated it. And he told me later, he says, I just hated to lose to my dad. And he hated to give me that $2. But he didn't get fined after that. I don't know why that is. You know, there's great favoritism there or what. I don't know. Teacher is always right. The teacher is running the classroom. The teacher has the authority over the classroom. When someone has authority over you, you conform to them. They do not conform to you. The teacher has the responsibility over the classroom. Your child does not have the responsibility over the classroom. You know, meaning both you and the school, you know, both together should be training them to have responsibility over themselves. Teacher is always right. Even if they are wrong, they are always right. You say, now you've gone over the line, Pastor. No. Teacher is the authority. I mean, you might have grown up in a generation that was taught by the devil, question authority. That came from the devil, it didn't come from the Bible. And you'll have trouble and strife all your life. Your children have trouble and strife all their life if they think they can question authority. God is the authority, and we don't question His fairness and dealings with us. We don't question His grace or think there is a more fair salvation. He is the authority, and God has put authority in our lives. Everyone has authority in their life. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Watch what it says. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Alright, so what's the power in a child's life? The teacher. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, the power is the teacher, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Who's the minister of God? Whoever the authority is over you. Government, teacher, whatever. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's what God's established. We got government over us, we got to do what the government tells us to do. When you're in a school and a teacher says something, that's what you got to do. If your child learns here that teacher is always right, they'll succeed much better in life. You see, even if it's possible the teacher's wrong, and you know, I doubt the teacher is wrong. But you see, when they go to the workforce, they're going to have human bosses. Do you know that? They're going to have human bosses, not angels. Do you know that? And you know, human bosses can be unfair. You know that? But human bosses are human bosses, and you got to obey human bosses. And human bosses are born depraved like everybody else. They're self-seeking. They can be quick-tempered. They can be terribly unfair. Obey the boss. Stay loyal to the boss. I mean, this is not an endorsement for somebody to have a temper. When you're working for somebody, that's what you do. God put authority in our life, we follow that authority. You know, I've had situations where my children told me, you know, about various bosses who seem to be very quick-tempered, irrational, unfair with them. You know, to the point of where they might want to quit. I don't want to stay in that job. I didn't want them to quit. You know why I didn't want them to quit? You know, the grass may seem greener on the other side, but you know, the next one might be worse. I had a guy over me one time that, you know, it kind of taught me that, you know. We were... we were working for this store manager for Sears, and we were in credit, and the credit manager was upset with some decision that the store manager made, you know. He said, yeah, you know, I'm really upset about this, but, you know, the store managers come and go, because that's what they did in Sears. They would promote you, you know. You know, when you promoted, you went to another store. Somebody else would come in. So, you know, store manager might only be there 2-5 years, maybe a little bit longer. And he said this, I never forgot. It was very interesting. He said, you know, I learned to get along with a guy that's here because the next guy might be worse. That's interesting, isn't it? So, you know, I say to my children, you know, I mean, you think you might want to quit because this guy's got a quick temper and he seems to be irrational and unfair and saying some things and such. You know what I tell my children to do when you got a boss like that? You know what I tell them to do? I said, continue to get in earlier than you have to. Work harder. Work longer. Obey them cheerfully, even if it pains you. That's what I teach them to do. And guess what happens? At the end of the summer, they get a nice big bonus. I said, no, nobody else did. They get a nice big bonus. What do you know? Teacher is always right. Authority is always right. A boss is always right. Even when he's wrong, you're working for him. He's right. Oh, maybe you can sit there and try to think of some moral situation where it's not right. But you know, you ought to have that attitude. Teacher is always right. Why? Because they are the authority and we conform to the authority. And when we conform to the authority, we're going to do better. And you know what? If your child got punished unfairly, if that kind of thing should really happen, if it should really happen, if they got punished unfairly and they took the punishment, you know what? It would help build some character. Because they'd be more, a little bit more like Jesus, wouldn't they? Who was really punished unfairly. I'm glad that Jesus did not do what was fair for me. Else I'd be in hell. For a godly school, number one, don't be fooled. Number two, teacher is always right. Number three, reports that benefit. This is a little bit tricky. I hope you're not worn out from teacher is always right to get this, you know? This is a little bit tricky. The balance of proper reporting is hard for a knucklehead to comprehend. Now, hopefully we're smarter than that. I want you to consider two scriptures. We've got a balance here of reporting. We're near 1 Corinthians, so let's take that one first. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 1:11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. All right, so we have the house of Chloe reporting some sin in the church. Okay? That's a report. And it's told to the Apostle Paul. Now, you want to hold there if you want to refer back to it. Look at, go back to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. All right, you've got two scriptures here. Please note these two scriptures. Note the difference. We just looked at this matter of a talebearer wounds a person's reputation without a solution. They've told a tale that hurt someone without a solution. On the other hand, we have a godly report of the house of Chloe that offers an opportunity for a solution. One report is godly because it offers the opportunity for a solution. It is told to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is going to handle it. He's going to deal with it. On the other hand, a talebearer is not looking for a solution. They're just looking to cause a wound on somebody else. We want a godly school. I think we're all agreed on that. It's hard to have a godly school if good students cover up for sinners. Now, what we're talking about here is, you know, stuff that should never be covered. Drugs and booze and fornication, dirty talk, porn, cheating. Those kind of things should never be covered up. And if they're reported, we can deal with it so that maybe we can turn a life around. And you know what? Over the years, we've turned a lot of lives around because we dealt with it. And it's possible to see lives turned around, especially if the parents cooperate. Actually, if the parents don't cooperate, it goes out the window. That's practically universally just true. I believe the difference between our school and some Christian schools that have become a den of iniquity is not that we never have iniquity, but that we deal with it. It's a report that benefits. You see, that a talebearer, a tattletale, we're not looking for talebearers and tattletales who are running around trying to find some little thing wrong that they can report. Maybe it's not even accurate and it hurts somebody. But there have to be these reports that benefit. And you know what? It's not just to purify our school, but it's to benefit the offender. And we've seen many of them get on the right track because of it. When you're aware of serious misdeeds, it's godly to report. It's ungodly to cover up. You know, and in the outside world of law enforcement, covering up a crime, you're guilty of something. So you should never be covering up. You do not benefit the school. You do not benefit the person when you cover up. You actually hurt and encourage the person to go on in more wickedness in their life. For a godly school, don't be fooled. Number one. Number two, teachers always right. Number three, reports that benefit. Let's bow for prayer. Child of God, you're saved. You know you're saved. Will you latch on to these things? And maybe you've developed some bad habits along the way. You got an opportunity right now before a holy God in your heart to change those habits. Will you do it? Students in our school, will you accept it? Will you do it? Will you take the authority of the teacher? You say, I don't like that teacher. I don't care wherever you go. If you had 5 teachers or 10 teachers, you'd find a number of them you didn't like. Sometimes people say the teacher they didn't like was the one they appreciated the most 10 years later, 15 years later. Will you, as a youngster, seek to do what's right before God with the teachers? Will you, as parents, seek to do what's right before God with the teachers? Will you report when you know there's evil and let it be investigated? Will you be careful to watch for signs of sin and not be fooled by students in the school? If somebody's drifting, so that we can have a godly school, because godliness equals joy, and we want to have joy. Perhaps there's someone sitting here tonight, you've never received the Lord as your Savior. Would you right now bow the knee of your heart to Him? Say, Lord, please save my wicked soul by what Jesus did on the cross and nothing in myself. As our heads are bowed, before I pray, I want to ask you if you made that decision. If you say, preacher, I just prayed that I might be saved. Would you raise your hand and let me know? Is there someone? Father in heaven, I pray for our school. We thank Thee, Lord, for all these years, all the struggles, all the sacrifice. Lord, I pray for the school. Lord, we have this incredible mounting insurance. It costs so much. I pray, Lord, that You might help us find some way to relieve that. Somehow, so our financial burden and the medical insurance can be somehow reduced and we're still protected. Lord, I pray Thy hand of blessing upon our school. We need Thee, Lord. We need Thy help and Thy strength in so many areas, especially in the area of finance. I pray Thy blessing. Help us to continue to work to develop godly young people. We thank Thee for the young people that have graduated from our school, still following the Lord, serving the Lord. Lord, I pray if there's someone here who needs to be saved, I pray that they'll come and answer the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.